lead to difficult results, dangerous situations. They should be avoided. And then if the problem has come up and there has been a mistake committed by the child, of course, he's not to be scolded for that. He's not to be, you know, even abused for that, even spanked for that. He's made the mistake. Just make him realize that it is a mistake by your expressions, by your facial, you know, expressions.
Show your, kind of, if you're not happy with it, show that through your gestures, but right, not through scolding.
But well, not, and even not to make him, you know, accept his mistake. Just say, oh, you, that was not a good thing to do, was it? That's all, that's
ask
enough.
Ask him the question. Well, we'll discuss more after a short break. Dear listeners, stay tuned.
The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Honor your children and teach them good manners."
Welcome back. You're listening to Islamic Upbringing. I'm Zainab with Professor Naqafi, and this is IRIB English Radio. Well, Professor, we were talking about a mother who was concerned. Her son was as young as 3 years old, and she was concerned if he accepts the mistakes when he grows up, because as of now, if he's doing something like throwing water on the floor, now he's saying, I did not do this. It's someone else, or you did it. So she was concerned. So you are actually trying to say that first, you said that the precautions should be taken care of. Second, you said that what I actually took out of your discussion was that maybe you have shown a behavior before wherein he thinks if he accepts his mistake and then his it's his time is like gone, he's gone now.
He feels that when we're scolding him, when we're telling him off, when we're trying to make him accept his mistake, or when we're scolding him for that, we're actually making him feel guilty about it. So he feels offended by that. So because even a small child has a certain sense of dignity, and he or she does not want to lose that sense of dignity. So if you start making him accept that mistake, he will, you know, start becoming defensive. So that would lead to a situation where he would then start to blame other people for that.
Yeah.
And he or she would try to deflect. The child would try to deflect the responsibility from himself or herself and blame it others to. So basically, we need to just make them realize that it wasn't a good thing to do, and you don't need to, you know, put them in the courtroom and say, why did you do it? Now you should be punished for it. No, that should not be the case, especially for children of a very tender age.
All right. So a child of a tender age, as per you, should be treated with utmost care, with utmost love, so that he does not actually go and pick up those things which are dangerous. Actually, the first thing that you said, that the dangerous things should not be kept around. Now, if throwing water on the floor actually annoys you, it could annoy you more that if the same water lets him slip on the ground and maybe he hurts his body or head or something like that. So the things that annoying you, you can yourself actually ignore them, keep them aside.
Exactly. Not throwing water or spilling water is not a big issue. Mostly mothers are very much put off by the fact that the child urinates on the carpet, and he needs to puts you off because it's become unclean. It's najis now. You have to wash it.
Yeah.
So, number one, nowadays we have these nappies to keep the child always covered, and he or she does not, you know, make place the places where he or she sits doesn't make them najis and unclean. That is one way of taking care of it. But there should be a place, a room where your child is free
to move. And if you actually get annoyed with it, you can actually train the child yourself in different ways, because there are different ways on the internet. You can search out there what are the different ways. It's actually a matter of a days or hours that you can teach. Thank you so much, Professor, for being with us and sharing such beautiful thoughts. Thank you so much, dear listeners. Until another session, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Islam solves all of our problems. Allah leaves no stone unturned. Perfect with no flaws at all by the laws of Allah. A way of life, a way of life, a way of life, a way of life. Islam is a way of life, a complete way.
A diverse range of programs. Spirituality. Youth. Eastern Tales. Roundtable discussions. Culture. Politics. All produced by IRIB English Radio.
Start.
Movement.
Speak.
Live in hope.
Toward the peak.
On Youth Station.
Youth Station.
I am a Muslim.
I am a Muslim.
Islamite.
Islamite.
Allah my Lord.
Allah my Lord.
His word Quran.
His word Quran.
Muhammad Prophet.
Muhammad Prophet.
Praise be upon.
Praise be upon.
I am Muslim for all.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم السلام عليكم dear listeners.
وعليكم السلام.
Oh, you are one of the listeners.
Yes,
that's correct.
I am.
That's correct.
بسم الله النور.
By the first verse of the Holy Quran.
بسم الله النور.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
Allah will bless you.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
Protect you.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
Help you.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
So ask His blessings.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
His protection.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
His help.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
لله الذي هو مدبر الأمور.
Everyone else who's listening to us, welcome to the station with just one line, one train, the Youth Station.
Yeah.
Yeah, welcome.
Thank you very much, and you welcome. So I am Asma, and this is Youth Station.
Good to know you.
Thank you. I thought you forgot that, so I had to remind you of that.
No.
Where were we?
Yeah, we were talking about nothing, actually.
Yes, we were greeting. It was the first step.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, what was I saying? I was saying that, because I had to introduce myself, because if I want to survive in this world, I have to take care of myself. No one's going to take care of me.
Yeah.
So everyone has to take care of themselves.
That's the rule.
Right. Yeah, that's the rule. So I'm going to take care of myself.
Yeah. But don't take care of yourself very much.
Why not?
See, there's the problem. When you say I would take care of myself very much, then...
I don't want to get run over by a truck, so I'm going to take care of myself.
Of course. Okay. But that's logic actually working in there. But then sometimes you put yourself before everything.
Mm-hmm.
And this is exactly where the problem comes out.
Why?
When you prioritize yourself in every single thing, you start to be selfish in a way that, okay, I would do everything to get what I want, even if it is to hurt my sisters, my brothers, my classmates, whomever.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's pretty, I guess, relatable. We have always been in those situations in which we have to pick between us and the other people, and then those who pick themselves are very selfish.
Right. Why is being selfish necessarily so bad?
But when mm-hmm. you go to extremes, then it would turn into something bad.
Yeah,
why?
But extremes and everything is bad.
Because then you would hurt other people. If there's a cure for a kind of disease that everyone is actually inflected with,
mm-hmm.
then there's only one cure, and it is in your hand.
Okay.
What would you do? Would you give it to other people?
No, I'll take them myself.
You would take it yourself. See, that is where selfishness is bad.
Yeah, but that's where it's good too. Because if I don't take it myself,
yeah.
I'm not going to exist to give it to others. So I need to take care of myself.
Maybe.
And then I'll like look
maybe,
at
maybe.
Like just at the example of, what do you call it, in jet cabins when that the oxygen drops and they're like, yeah, who's going to put it on? Yeah, you're going to put it on the child or you're going to put it on yourself?
Yes.
And you're like, no, you have to put
but
it on
imagine,
yourself.
But imagine there's a scientist living there around you who could do more of these cures. If you give it to that person, then that person is going to save the world.
Yeah, but I might die before that happens.
It's okay. You would save the world.
Wow. How easy is that?
It's not easy. It's never easy.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like,
you have to work on yourself. That's why we're living. The first thing first is that we're not living forever.
If I need to serve other people, mm-hmm. right, I need to serve myself first. I need to... Let's come to finances. If I want to be able to support people of any age to other people, I need to be a financially stable person.
Of course.
So
yes.
In that sense, I have to be selfish to an extent, right? So
to
I
an
can
extent.
Take yeah, to an extent, I need to take care of myself
yeah, yeah.
to be able to be in a position that now I mm-hmm. can afford to support other people,
yeah.
right?
See, I told you, it's okay to take care of yourself. It's okay to put yourself at first. It's okay to please yourself at first and whatever that is going to benefit you.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes and in some occasions, and don't tell me that it has never happened to you because it's a big, big, big lie. In some occasions, we have to put ourselves aside.
Well, yeah, certainly.
What happens in the family, for example, when, see, as a father, you can imagine if something happens to your child, you can never tolerate that.
Hmm.
So that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, precisely.
Sometimes in the society that we're living, we have to feel this selflessness in order to help our brothers or sisters or other people who are living in that society.
No, you mean the greater good. Yeah.
Yeah.
So you have to, like, compromise with certain things for the greater good.
Yeah.
We need to compromise a conversation for a greater break.
This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Youth Station.
Welcome back. Yeah, carrying on. If this hadn't happened, if people did not compromise, if people had never put others before mm-hmm. themselves,
yeah.
Do you think the world
would have been a better place?
Would have been a better place?
Yeah, it would have been a better place.
Right.
Don't you think so? As a selfish person.
Yeah, world would have been a better place. For other people, yeah, certainly.
And for you as well.
Yeah.
See, but
how?
Yeah. Like, for example, I'm a teacher. Many occasions are difficult for me,
mm-hmm.
but I would take all the terribles because I'm going to help other children to grow
mm-hmm.
in a good manner. And then these people are going to
form enter another
different
generation.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm.
So
yes,
this is
generation
a better
by generation. Is good,
yeah.
It's good that you mentioned children, like
yeah.
being a parent. Families in general. I don't think families could function if there
was
an element
exactly.
of selflessness.
They would right? all go for divorce.
Pretty much a lot that is happening in society right now.
Exactly.
You know, divorce is there.
That's because technology and media is teaching us to put ourselves at the first. At
yeah,
the very,
for a very evil reason.
Yeah.
You know, like modern slavery, that's another thing. But children would put their parents in elderly homes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Parents would put their children in foster cares.
Yes.
Divorce would be there.
Very sad.
Yeah, that's detrimental. And that is happening right now.
Yeah.
So, yeah, your point is pretty much tangible in this society because we are observing this. We are observing this. The more selfish we get in, the more problems we're facing as a society. And
so what happened to us that we're becoming so selfish?
I don't know. I don't want to sound cliche and I don't want to, but it's just there. I just can't help but mention that, you know, a few elite are there. They're these elite people, so-called elite people.
Exactly, so-called.
Right, yeah. And then these certain XYZ families that run a certain... Families. See the irony there?
Yeah.
These families, they've got their own priorities. They do have, you know, they've held their families together, but they want other families destroyed. They want other societies destroyed. Why? Because no one has a commitment but to serve them, right? You know, so this elite wants to be served, and in order to be served, they're destroying individual lives, families.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah. And it's all there. It's all there.
Does it start from childhood? Or we get selfish as we grow older? I mean, the world teaches us to be selfish.
Well, you know, as they say, a child is as absorbable. Absorbable isn't even a word. Absorbent. A child is as absorbent as a sponge, right? It's like a sponge, right? So whatever you teach them, if you teach the child to be selfless, the child's going to be selfless. If you teach them to be, if they see selfishness around them, they're going to be selfish. But even a child who has been brought up as a selfless person,
when they come to society,
they see, they haven't been able to survive this
this
hideous society. I'm not saying this society is hideous. I'm like this aspect of society. This hideous aspect of society, they're not able to survive it unless they're selfish, you understand? So they resort to being selfish, and that goes on their generations and their generations and their generations, and let's not be selfish shortly after the break.
We're back. Yeah. And we're talking about selfish people and selfless people. But is it always good to be selfless? I guess when I'm not hurting anyone and when I'm going to develop myself, for example, I'm studying and there's this competition for the entrance exam. So I take all the possible chances to improve myself in order to get a good result. This is the thing that comes to my mind right now. Because as in generally, I would say being selfish is not good. You know, that's the problem with me. I can't be selfish and it's not good to be so selfless. You would suffer from that. And that's what society has taught me, you know. Always being selfless and putting others in front of yourself is going to cost you so much.
Yeah, but if it's worth it, then, you know, you are ready to pay the cost. But certain things are not worth it. For example, you have a very, very, very dear friend.
Yeah. Right?
You have grown up together and you've shared...
So alter ego.
Huh?
My alter ego.
Yeah. You've got this BFF, whatever. And you're out... you're in Switzerland, you've got these mountains, blah blah blah, everything, and they tell you that let's have a sip of alcohol, let's drink, and if you don't, I'm going to get upset.
No.
Right? Okay. Now, they're going to be upset. They my heart's going to break because all the time we've spent together. But like,
okay, she's not going to die. She's going to get upset.
Yeah, but that's breaking the heart, right? Over here.
Not to the extent of breaking their heart.
For example, let's assume that it's going to break their heart, completely destroy them, because like they did everything that you ever said for them, for you. They did everything for you. And there's one thing they ask for you, like, drink for me. Like, let's cheers. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah. Would you?
Of course not.
Why? Well, that's definitely...
Because I have been raised on morality, and then I can't ignore that because I'm serving a greater cause.
Okay.
And because I'm seeing God everywhere, so there's a closer friend that I have, so I cannot betray him in front of his eyes.
Okay, so...
So the story now goes somewhere else.
Right, but what about that friend? You have to...
No, I can't. See, I can talk to her. I can shake sense to her head. Then
nothing's
going to
happen. No, nothing.
No, if she's my friend, then she would understand me. She would be justified, I guess.
Yeah, well, no, nothing's happening. They either you do that or your friendship's over.
Over.
You're over?
Yeah.
Right, so that's where you're selfish.
No, this is not selfish.
Why?
This is not being selfish.
Well, you didn't care about their feelings.
No, I care. When I talk to her, when I try to make her understand me, I am doing my best, so I'm not being selfish. When I do my best and it doesn't work, then what more can I do?
Your best would be, I don't want to sound like that. Your best in that scenario is go for it. Go whatever they're asking. Do whatever they're asking of you.
Well, that scenario is very tough, Ben.
Yeah.
I should say.
Yeah, it is tough, right? But, I don't know if it's a very... good example, if it's getting my point through, but my point is this.
You mean that sometimes the situation of being selfish is very delicate. You can't even understand that you're being selfish.
It's very visible. What I'm saying is there are certain red lines. I've got these priorities, right?
Uh-huh.
There are red lines. And at that red line, I am going to be selfish and I'm not going to be ashamed about that.
So the red lines are your selfishness.
Yeah, these are my... Yeah, I'm going to be selfish over here. I don't care how you feel. Nothing got to do with me. It's got nothing to do with me. I am going to do... I'm not going to cross these red lines.
Yeah.
So over there, I have to be selfish. And I will be selfish. And I'm not going to be ashamed of it.
And it's okay if it's going to cross your red lines.
No, it's not okay if it's going to cross my red lines.
No, I mean being selfish in the cases when you are going to cross your red lines, it's okay to be selfish rather than to cross those red lines.
Yeah, exactly. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to be all right with being selfish or being labeled as selfish or, whatever.
Now I'm selfish and I'm going to cut this conversation in here.
Yeah, see? I made you selfish.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, we'll head for a no break and this is the end. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Under the starry sky of the desert, from the very heart of evergreen forests, with the radiance of silver-colored sand, in the midst of proud mountains, closer, Iran,
hello, I am Mitra, an Iranian nature traveler. To know more about the wonders and beauties of magnificent Iran, keep me company.
Asfalt üzere.
I'm watching a movie with the theme of Iran's 8-year holy defense. Here, I am at a movie theater, which displays the movies participating at Fajr Film Festival. This movie is a narrative of Iranians' heroism during the 8-year imposed war on Iran. Well, I have made a sudden decision. Let me be more precise. In the world, there are museums which showcase war heritage. However, in our beautiful Iran, in the capital city of Tehran, we have a peace museum. Interesting, isn't it? So, why not be there? The idea of founding Tehran Peace Museum took shape following talks between the founders of the Tehran-based Society for Chemical Weapons Victims Support, SCWVS, and the Coordinator for International Network of Museums for Peace in 2005. The founders of Tehran's Peace Museum came to the conclusion that the sufferings of the Iranian people, which were caused by the enemy's chemical weapons, is a good reason for exhibiting the consequences of war and violence. Tehran Peace Museum was temporarily closed for public visitors in 2010 for redesign, and the new building, with a completely new design, was inaugurated in a ceremony in 2011, attended by guests from different countries, including the director of Hiroshima Peace Memorial Museum. The Peace Museum of Tehran has several features, such as it is the member of the International Network of Peace Museums. Its active members, particularly the museum guides, are the victims of war and chemical weapons. Tehran Peace Museum is linked to other peace museums around the world. Tehran Peace Museum pursues the goal of promoting the culture of peace.
Thank you.
somebody hears the word peace for the first time, he might think how this word could be shown in a museum. Well, I tell you how. In fact, Tehran Peace Museum is a place for disseminating the culture of peace and friendship via showcasing the dire consequences of war and violence, as well as its harmful impacts on humans and the environment. Well, let's take a tour around the museum. The Peace Museum of Tehran consists of a library, an art gallery for peace, workshops, the virtual section of the museum, and a studio for recording oral history. This museum has a main hall, which contains symbols for representing war consequences in the world and the consequences of using chemical weapons. Well, from where can we start? Let me take a look at these sculptures. Yes. Very interesting. They seem to be very real. Here you can see sculptures that are the same size of a normal human being. And here there are busts of famous figures, be it peace-seeking or belligerent. Oh, look at this. This is the bust of Gandhi. Gandhi fought against British colonization. And this is the bust of Hitler. The initiator of the Second World War and the killer of innocent people. Oh, and this is Saddam, the Ba'athist dictator who, with the help of Western countries, especially the US, imposed the 8-year war against Iran. Are here. Oh, they are for a Japanese kid who was killed by the US bombing of Hiroshima. Poor kid. For what sin innocent kids are killed? Even in Iran, the city of Sardasht was targeted by the chemical bombs of Saddam, and many kids were killed. Oh, poor kids. And here's a photo gallery. It has explanations. Can be illuminating. And here you can see the bust of Iranian poets. Great! The bust of Hafiz, who composed friendly poems. And the bust of Sa'di, the great Iranian poet, who both, I mean, Hafiz and Sa'di have universal reputation. Well, art is long and life is short. To know more about the details, take a tour to this museum. Until next time, goodbye.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. What you heard was an IRIB English radio program.
This is A to Z. An introduction into an Islamic lifestyle. Today's lesson, moderation in food and sleep. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In today's lesson, we will talk about the topic of moderation in food and sleep in the Islamic lifestyle. Obviously, when we are the human beings, we need to feed this material body in order to have energy, and therefore we consume food. Now, there are a couple of types of foods which are being described by the material world as junk food or the healthy food. Other than that, there are some specific rules which we need to follow if we want to have an Islamic lifestyle. On top of that, we need to have the proper time to sleep as well. We cannot sleep for more than a specific time, because if we do so, we are wasting the time. Therefore, in the Islamic teachings, when we talk about the food first, it says that kulu washrabu wa la tusrifu. Islam permits you to eat and drink, but do not be extravagant. Do not waste the things. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the verse has said that annahu la yuhibbul musrifin, that Allah does not likes or loves the extravagance. Therefore, it is necessary to eat what we need. And intellectually, we can think about this, that when every year we see that certain countries or every country, they throw away the waste, they throw away the food because it is more than the need, it shows us that we are not eating according to what is the need, and we consume or maybe we buy more than what is needed for the body. Welcome back. You're listening to A to Z from IRB English Radio. We were talking about the topic of moderation in the food and sleep. We said that it is necessary to eat and consume food up to the need that we have. On the other hand, we have many narrations which says that when you sit on the table, on the dinner table or the food table, eat up to a level which leaves you at the end a bit hungry and not be full with the food, because when we eat too much or we are full or the stomach is full, we are unable to stand up, we are unable to move easily. Therefore, if we want to have a healthy life, it is necessary to eat to a level where at the end we feel a bit more of consuming food, but we do not consume that food so that our body can easily move. On the other hand, about the sleeping matter, it is necessary to sleep on time. It is said to divide your time in four timings. There is a time for the for worshiping, there is a time for the firm family, there is a time for work, and there must be a time to sleep. Therefore, we must not eat a lot so that when we sleep and we cannot wake up. And therefore, there are many things which are being narrated. For example, about the Prophet Musa alayhi salam, once he asked Satan that, "What things do you like in me?" And he said that in the night when you eat food, you eat and you fill your stomach, and I like that. And he said, "Why do you like that?" He said, "Because in the morning when you have to wake up for worshiping, you do not wake up on time, or maybe you become lazy, and I like that." And from their own words, the Prophet Musa alayhi salam had promised himself that, "I will not eat food in the night in a way that I am full." Therefore, it is necessary to have the moderate way to control our food and to control our timings for waking, working, and sleeping, inshallah. Thanks for listening. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
IRIB English Radio. Our website is parstoday.ir.
You can email us at englishradio@irib.ir.
English Radio, a window to peace of mind and spirituality. You can tune in to IRIB English Radio 24 hours a day. We are with you. Are you with us? Are you with us? Are you with us? This is our voice from the heart of the Islamic Republic of Iran, IRIB English Radio.
In the limelight.
The navies of China, Russia, and South Africa will hold their second joint maritime military exercises in the airspace and waters east of the South Africa, China's defense ministry has said recently. The exercises are targeted at jointly safeguarding the security of shipping and maritime economic activities, it said. It added, "The joint exercise will help further promote defense and security cooperation between BRICS countries and enhance the capacity of participating parties to jointly safeguard maritime security." In this regard, we have taken a look at world media websites for further details. Stay tuned for more. Global Times noted, China's defense ministry announced recently that the second joint naval exercise between China, Russia, and South Africa will be held from Monday, February 20th to February 2017, aiming to safeguard sea transport and maritime economic activities amid the intensive efforts of the Chinese People's Liberation Army, PLA, to restore exchanges and cooperation with foreign countries, including opening a destroyer to the public at an international expo in Abu Dhabi after such interactions were hindered by the pandemic in recent years. Amid the hypes from Western countries, which claim that such exercise is controversial, Chinese analysts stress that China has its free will to conduct joint drills with any friendly countries, and that the exercise will contribute to peace and stability in the region and the protection of sea lanes for commercial ships, and is not related to conflicts or tensions elsewhere in the world. According to agreements reached by China, Russia, and South Africa, the navies of the three countries will start their second joint naval exercise in sea and air regions east of South Africa's Durban and Richards Bay from February 20 to February 27. China's Ministry of National Defense said in a press release recently, the theme of this exercise is a joint security operation on safeguarding sea transport and maritime economic activities, the ministry said. The Type 052D destroyer, Honan, the Type 054A frigate, Rizhao, and the Type 903A comprehensive replenishment ship, Keke Jihu, of the PLA Navy's 42nd Escort Task Force, will participate in the drills, according to the press release. It is conducive to further promoting cooperation in the fields of defense and security among BRICS members and enhancing all participating parties' capabilities in jointly safeguarding maritime security, read the press release. Codenamed MOSI 2, the joint naval exercise will schedule to begin in the Indian Ocean off the coast of South Africa, said South Africa's defense ministry, Russian news agency TASS reported recently. The trilateral exercise will benefit all participating countries by aligning their operational naval systems and improving joint command and control, TASS quoted South Africa's Minister of Defense and military veterans, Thandi Motsi, as saying. The drills will run until February 27th, with China sending a destroyer, a frigate, and a support ship, South Africa represented by a frigate and two support ships, and Russia deploying a frigate and a tanker, according to TASS, which also noted that the Russian frigate will demonstrate the Zircon hypersonic missile. It is the second time the three countries have held a joint naval exercise, with the first one held in November 2019 in the southwest of South Africa in the Atlantic Ocean, TASS reported. The joint drills will contribute to peace and stability in the region, as the three countries have common interests in protecting sea lanes involving key commercial activities in the Indian Ocean from piracy and other security threats, a Beijing-based military expert told the Global Times recently. We'll be right back. Western countries and their media have been hyping the exercise as controversial, citing the Russia-Ukraine crisis, South Africa's refusal to condemn and impose sanctions on Russia, and tensions over the Taiwan question. But these are just accusations that the West has made against this peacefully intended exercise, the expert said. The drill is not related to any other ongoing situation, and it is also very normal for China to conduct joint exercises with friendly countries, the experts have recently said. Also, recently, the PLA's Navy Type 052D guided missile destroyer Nanning arrived in Abu Dhabi to participate in Naval Defense and Maritime Security Exhibition, NAVDEX, under the invitation of the host country. The Nanning will conduct friendly interactions, including seminars, visits, and sports competitions with the Navy and vessels from other countries participating in AAVDEX, and will be open to the general public. Senior Colonel Liu Wensheng, a PLA's Navy spokesperson, announced recently. The Nanning is part of the PLA Navy 43rd Naval Escort Task Force to Aden and the waters of Somalia, and has just participated in Amman 23 Multinational Maritime Exercise, which was hosted by Pakistan and attended by some 50 countries from February 10th to February 20th. Intensive foreign interactions, including participation in joint drills and international exhibitions, show that PLA is proactively boosting its military exchange and cooperation with other countries in the post-COVID era, as it continues to open to the world, providing positive factors to enhance understanding and manage differences.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم السلام عليكم ورحمة الله
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints
همه با وجود قده سرطانی اسرائیل مخالفیم
All of us are opposed to the cancerous tumor Israel
وجه مشترک همه وحدت امت اسلامی
Unity of Islamic Ummah is the aspect that all of Islamic denominations have in common.
This is the part of the speech delivered by the leader of the Islamic Revolution during a meeting with a number of elegists, eulogists, and religious poets in the Imam Khomeini Husseiniya on January 12, 2023. The meeting took place one day before the anniversary of the birth of Lady Fatima Zahra Salamullah Aliha. An elegist should be concerned with guiding his audience rather than earning money, fame, social status, and such things. Now, I am not saying that you should forget about these things completely. We are not like that. We are weak human beings, and we cannot forget about ourselves completely. Nonetheless, you need to give such matters less attention. Your main concern should be to guide people. When you memorize a poem or write a poem down to recite it later, when you accept an invitation to recite at a gathering, or when you sit before an audience, all you should think about is that you want to guide your audience. That is the first condition. The second condition is enlightenment. How can a being become a creator if it is not derived from the creator?
دنیای اسلام یک
The world of Islam has one single prescription today, and that is unity. This prescription exists in all Islamic countries.
Nations should be united.
If a person lacks solid fundamental wisdom within himself, it is unlikely that he will be able to bring enlightenment to others. We need to develop ourselves. You are young. You have the patience and the time. Study and read books. Books on both poetry and prose. Read the books written by Martin Mutahhari. Read books on morals as well as the books of hadith and books of tafsir. We have good books of tafsir. Even if you are not fluent in Arabic, there are very good Farsi books on tafsir today that are easily accessible to everyone. Another condition is that you need to keep yourselves updated. The situation in the world is changing on a daily basis. Be up to date. Keep an analysis of the world's events in your mind and in your thinking. My friends, today we are either facing an important turning point in history or we are moving inside the heart of an important turning point in history. The latter is probably a more accurate description. The world is changing. Major changes are taking place. Significant major changes cannot be understood in a week, a month, or a year. Such things take place gradually. You need to be well aware of what is taking place in the world and what is happening inside the country.
Allah, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for all the things that you've done. You've done for me through all my years. I've been lost. You guided me from all the ways that were wrong. Indeed, you gave me hope. Oh, Allah, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for all the things that you've done. You've done for me.
Yusuf Jalali, Tehran.
Rubashavit, Gaza.
Jerome Hughes, Brussels.
Saeed Poreza, London.
Rasha Saglam, Istanbul.
Saeed Amin Alemi, Kabul.
Shahana Bhatt, Indian administered Kashmir.
Round the world with reporters.
The Rome-based Islamic Center Imam Mahdi has recently published a book on the late Iranian commander Lieutenant General Qassem Soleimani. Titled A God's Fighter, the Italian-language book revolves around General Soleimani's endeavors to defend the oppressed people. A man, quote, driven by an unshakable faith in God. The book is a collection of messages, thoughts and letters by General Soleimani, a project that has been supported by all the members of the Imam Mahdi Center.
Irki. Who did General Soleimani fight for? By publishing this book, we wanted to shed a light on a man who was always described as an anti-something. Yes, he was against Zionism, he fought against Daesh, but he did all that for God, and that's why we call him a God's fighter in our book. This project intends to fill a void in Italy, as for far too long, all accounts on General Soleimani have distorted his true image.
In 2020, 40 days after U.S. assassination of Major General Qassem Soleimani, hundreds of his posters were hung across many Italian cities. Initiatives to honor the slain Iranian military officer were held in Rome and Milan. Imam Mahdi Center's book on Soleimani also contains speeches by the leader of the Islamic Revolution, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei, and Grand Ayatollah Ali Sistani on General Soleimani's martyrdom. The publication also contains photos portraying Iran's former top military commander.
Finding good quality photos of Soleimani was a daunting task. There are only a few good shots of him around. He was not a poser. He was a humble man and he didn't love to be in the spotlight. My favorite